Join me for a hymn sing at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Things Above. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And so, praising God, the Samaritan hightails it right back to Jesus. And when he reaches him, he falls flat on his face at the Lord's feet, giving him thanks. Here is priest. Here is temple. Here is God himself.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Luke.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I'm sure you recall that in our previous podcast, we'd heard Jesus' words about the proper deportment of servants. Remember how he said that when the servant comes in from plowing or from tending the sheep, the master of the servant does not tell him to come in and sit down and recline at table. Rather, coming in from his outside work, he is instructed to prepare the master's supper, to clean up from his work clothes, and to serve dinner. After the master has already eaten his meal, then will be the time for the servant to sit down to his supper. Jesus says that the master doesn't thank the servant for doing what he was commanded to do. And in this whole little story, Jesus is instructing us that since we are and remain sinners who literally have to live daily from the forgiveness of our sins, we shouldn't expect God's thanks for just doing what, after all, is our duty. And we should all freely confess that even when we've done what was commanded, we are and remain unworthy servants. We haven't obeyed a single command perfectly from the heart. Remember, too, that the point is that no one can claim that they're retiring from the duties God lays on them. We may retire from this or that vocation, but we all continue to owe God our obedience. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Let us pray. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you sent it. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you ready to meditate on these verses? Let's dig in. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. We do not know exactly where Jesus was on that border, but obviously, if he's still bordering Galilee, his journey that we've been tracking since chapter 9 hasn't actually moved all that far southward yet. But we learned back in chapter 9, verse 53, that the Samaritans in one village had not welcomed Jesus and his disciples since his face was set toward Jerusalem. But since we've had a number of events recorded in the intervening chapters, it seems likely Jesus and company would have reached the southernmost extent of that shared border, perhaps near to the Old Testament city of Bethshan, the city where the bodies of Saul and his sons were defiled. See 1 Samuel 31. Verse 12. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, verse 13, and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The lepers, in standing at a distance, are observing the prescription of Moses and Torah. Remember Leviticus 13, verse 45. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." That is, they would give fair warning that they are leprous and that others should not come near them. But these men, when they realize exactly who is entering the village, they probably lived in a leper community right outside the gate, they switch their cry from "unclean, unclean" to "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Remember now that Nain itself was not too terribly far from the border between Samaria and Galilee. Perhaps they'd heard already of his amazing power to raise the dead, and they knew that healing leprosy would be a cinch for him. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Interestingly, it doesn't say when he heard them, but when he saw them. Maybe it was actually hard to make out exactly what they were saying. Lepers often have hoarse voices. But the noise alerts Jesus that something is being requested of him, and seeing these broken and damaged men, he who knows all things knows exactly what they're asking of him, and so he dispatches them to the priests. This, again, is in accord with Leviticus, this time the 14th chapter, which instructs on how the priests will declare a former leper clean, and he will have the opportunity then to offer to the Lord a sacrifice of thanksgiving. They apparently hadn't seen any change in their bodies when they head off to obey Jesus' directive. Maybe it's as they're going that one turns to say something to another and realizes that his companion's skin is whole. Maybe then the eager glance at one's own body and then whoops of joy, they would be leaping and dancing on their way to the priests. And remember, Jesus did send them to the priests. And maybe there was something more to that directive than just fulfilling the law. Here's Cyril of Alexandria on that from the 5th century. He commanded them to go as being already healed, so that they might bear witness to the priests, the rulers of the Jews, and always envious of his glory. They testified that wonderfully and beyond their hope, they had been delivered from their misfortune by Christ's willing that they should be healed. And then we learn, verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, verse 16, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Which begs the question of which priests Jesus had sent them to, the ones in Samaria or priests from the house of Aaron among the Jews? In any case, this man, the Samaritan, realizes who the real priest is and where is the God to whom he ought to offer his thanksgiving sacrifice. And so, praising God, the Samaritan hightails it right back to Jesus. And when he reaches him, he falls flat on his face at the Lord's feet, giving him thanks. Here is priest. Here is temple. Here is God himself. And the very fact that Jesus' words could accomplish such a grand miracle attests to no less than all of that. But then follow quite plaintive words from our Lord's own mouth. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Verse 18. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Another intimation of what's coming. How so very many of Jesus' own people would be ungrateful for what he was preparing to do, but how the hearts of so many Gentiles would be truly touched by the Holy Spirit and turned to Christ in faith. And did you notice this? Were not 10 cleansed? Jesus doesn't take back his healing, his saving gift, just because they don't return to him. In this way, we also understand that the great healing he is preparing to effect on human nature really is for all people. The forgiveness of the cross will not exclude a single one of us, Jew or Gentile. But alas, it will not avail those who do not, in the very grace of that gift, return to Jesus and join the crowd of those who fall down before him, thanking him as God in the flesh. St. Cyril again. Falling into a thankless forgetfulness, the 9 lepers that were Jews did not return to give glory to God. By this, he shows that Israel was hard of heart and utterly unthankful. The stranger, a Samaritan, was a foreign race brought from Assyria, yet he returned with a loud voice to glorify God. It shows that the Samaritans were grateful, but that the Jews, even when they benefited, were ungrateful. And before we're overly hard on the Jews, how often have we fallen into that bad habit? Our mommies taught us a long time ago that whenever we receive a kindness from someone, we were to say to them, "Thank you." And how many of the great kindnesses of our God rain down upon us nonstop in creation, in redemption, and in sanctification? Enough, surely, to move any who contemplate them to unending praise and thanksgiving to God. But how often we too are guilty of snagging the gift and wandering off on our own, never returning to express what ought to be our deepest thanks. Verse 19, "And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, notice the ESV footnote on this verse, "or has saved you." The phrase, as we've noted several times, can be rendered either way, and that's above all because the very concept of salvation and healing are joined together in Greek. What saves you heals you. What heals you saves you. It might strike you as odd that Jesus tells the man to go your way instead of following him, but the time for the calling of the Gentiles, which has already been hinted at, has not yet arrived. That will follow the work that Jesus is preparing to do up in Jerusalem. Indeed, we do see certain Gentiles along the way believing, but Jesus is still focused at this point on his mission to his own people, to Israel. Now that's where we're going to hit that old pause button for today. Next up in our gospel journey, we find the Pharisees asking Jesus when God's kingdom would come. Jesus directs them away from the idea of a kingdom they can see with their eyes to something that's hidden. In fact, hidden right in front of them, hidden in him, and so also hidden in those who believe in him. We'll notice an ambiguity of translation yet again. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you or is within you? Yes. Then he tells his disciples that they're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. He means visibly among them, as he is now. But they're not going to see it. And they don't need to be fooled by anyone trying to tell them about some secret hidden coming of Jesus. When he comes, it's going to be as plain as a slash of a bolt of lightning across the sky. But before that glorious appearing happens, he is destined to suffer many things and be rejected by the people of this generation. That particular term probably referring to those generated from Adam, meaning unbelievers. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.